Welcome to the Wellbeing Rebellion, the podcast that's changing workplace cultures for good. We're your hosts, Ngazi Weller
and Obehi Alafoje.
Let's get this rebellion started.
Welcome back to this week's episode of the Wellbeing Rebellion podcast. I'm your host, Obehi Alafoje. And I am riding solo on this one this week because Ngazi Weller is on Easter holidays. So, this topic, how to support your employees with their mental well-being through a recession. So, are we in a recession? Are we not? I mean, what's the situation with that, right? So, apparently, we did enter a recession in December of last year, and it seemed we're out of it again. So economy grew by 0.1%. I mean, I'm no economist, but it seemed that we're growing slowly, and the squeezing on household has eased slightly, apparently. I don't know if your pocket feels like it eased, or so I don't know what's happening out there, but I like to think that we are all still trying to deal with the economy as best as we can, and we could do with more money in our pocket, right? So there are signs that the economy growth is going to pick up this year, all of that. The point is, still uncertain. Whatever it is, it's still not very clear what's happening. So we've just entered quarter two. So we're thinking, how are your people doing? How are people coping? Are they overwhelmed with their workload? Are they worried about the economy? Are they worried about what's going on in their family? And are they coping with the worry? Are they rising to the challenges that they find themselves faced with? Maybe you're not sure because your people aren't talking. Right? What's the situation? So supporting employees' mental health during a recession or an economic downturn, it is crucial for maintaining morale, productivity, and overall well-being, because when people are worried, they are in their heads more. They are trying to problem solve things that affect them. Therefore, you might think that the extra energy they might have for being more creative on behalf of your organization might lessen a bit because they are worried. It's a Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? You want to be comfortable with the basics first, and then you have energy and resources for other things. So during a recession or an economic downturn, whatever it is, your people will experience a wide range of emotions as they try to navigate uncertainty, right? They're trying to problem solve potential challenges in their life and also in their professional lives as well in terms of work. So in this episode, I'm going to share some thoughts about how you can continue to support your people, because we know you care. For those of you who listen to our podcast, those of you who attend our roundtables and panels discussing and want to talk about this, we know that as people leaders, as CEOs of small businesses and medium-sized businesses, you care about what your people are doing because you know most of them by name. Okay, especially for those of you with small teams, you know them. So you are naturally going to be worried for them and also concerned about how what's going on for them could affect them at work and vice versa, right? So I want to share some common emotions that your people might experience during challenging periods, okay? The first one is anxiety. That's the first one that comes to mind because it's the bit that underpins worry, okay? So they might be concerned about the job security, financial stability, obviously, what's in the bank account, can they afford to pay for shopping and travels and things that they need for themselves and their family, right? So that's one. The second might be things like just general stress, increased workload. So when if you have to let go of people in your organization, and or the more work has come in, but you can't afford to hire more people to share the workload, then you have a smaller team of people dealing with more workload, and that would heighten stress levels, right? So that's something that might come up. They might feel overwhelmed as a result of that. How do I manage this level of workload and demand and responsibility and still do a good job and still put myself up for promotion? So all the things that workers will concern and worry about are going to naturally increase level of cortisol, you know, so stress in the body. Then you have frustration, obviously. So you can see how limited career advancement if people aren't hiring, new roles aren't being created. So you can see how people might start thinking, my wages aren't going up. They may ask for an increase. Perhaps you can't give them an increase. Then there's a level of, okay, so what's my value here? So there's all the things that people do consider and think about and are dealing with internally may not necessarily have anything to do with you and your organization as a head of people or the CEO of an organization. That's how people are naturally going to wonder about what is the value? What is the value that I bring? And is that value reflected in my pay and in my recognition at work? And then we can think about things like where people cross over from intense stress or prolonged stress into depression. Either they have risk factors already, but then you might have things going on at home that can contribute to that, right? So divorce, death in the family, family illness. I mean, those things add to the pressure where uncertainty around a job or job-related stressors can then contribute to a prolonged feeling of sadness, hopelessness, and of course, depression in the long term. Then we think about things like anger. And that might stem from feeling of injustice or feeling like things aren't fair. Somebody being promoted over them, things like that. Somebody's bad behavior being tolerated, other people not so much. So just the general feeling of perceived unfair treatment, frustration with organizational decisions. So as leaders, you might have to pivot or change strategy just to be able to minimize the effect that the economy might have on your business. And so you might make a promise 1 month and then have to renege on that promise again. And that might bring about level of frustration and anger in employees. So it's very important to be able to share what you're up to or the rationale for changing direction. There's also feelings of guilt that people might feel, especially those people who have retained their jobs, somehow managed to score a promotion because of the value they bring had been highlighted and celebrated. And so they might do feel, level of my colleague didn't get what I also got or what I got. And I can also see the value that they brought into the level of guilt to that. So just level of conflict, really. Especially if among peers, when you know, there are people who go to lunch together, they hang out together, especially since we've now started to work out of the homes and back in the offices again. And you're building friendships and relationships again, bond. And then when somebody promoted, the other people aren't, it seemed unfair. And so the person, to the level of guilt that person might feel there. So finally, the other thing I wanted to say really is, but also something to do with just resilience. So in the midst of difficulties, people rise to the challenge. Somehow something in a person just kicks in. What we like to call resilience, right? People demonstrate their adaptability, how they can cope in the face of adversity. And we all have it in us. And I think something you bring it out more in us than others. But there'll be in a situation like a recession or stuff happening at work and all of that stuff, people do, their strength come out and we see what they're capable of. So this is my favorite part of any stressful situation, thinking, how would they rise to this challenge? How would they problem solve? How would they creatively find a way through? Okay, how we're going to focus on solutions that will help them and others in their team or personally in their family to be able to navigate through tough times. This is my favorite of what happened, the range of emotions that might come up when people experience difficulty. So it's important to hear that because at least people can experience multiple of these things at any one time. It's not just one thing. It could be four or five of these things at once, which can be overwhelming and confusing for people at work. It might be they were happy yesterday and jokey, and today they're not. And today they feel really overwhelmed and stressed. And so what's that about? So I just wanted to share that, okay? So you just know your people are going to go into a tough time. They will have a range of emotions. They may or may not share or show it, but important to know that it's there. And that brings me to some strategies that you can employ to support your employees during challenging times. Okay, the first one, top one for me, is having open and honest conversations. So you want people to still feel that they can still talk about their mental health concerns openly, right? That it wasn't just something that you did during COVID, right? That even though people are afraid of losing their job, then, you know, I think it's an employee market again now. So people are afraid of losing their job and they're going to be more compliant, I suppose, with not being able to share disagreement because they think, I don't want to put my head above the parapet and get knocked down for it. I'm just not going to say anything. So you still want your people to communicate and feel safe communicating any concerns that they have or grievance that they have. But also, particularly about their mental health, being able to share that. So you want to encourage your managers, line managers, to have regular check-in with their team members to understand challenges and offer support where possible. Okay, that's one. Second is to provide resources. So whatever employee assistance program that you have paid for and invested in, your staff need to know what they are regularly. So don't just pick it up in the bathroom or send very bland HR emails to say, don't forget we have this. You kind of have to remind them in different forums. It might be reminding in meetings. It might be reminding when people are having lunch together. I mean, it just people sometimes need to hear things 11, 20 different ways for them for it to stick. But one of my favorite ways of making sure that your people know what resources if you have is to share with them examples of those resources. So if you've ever used your EAP program to access counseling, then share that with your team. You know, I used it last year. This is how it was for me. So I just wanted to just remind everybody that it's available. They provide a 6-session, blah, 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 right? Something that a story around it so that it sticks to them. Because you want your people to access support early. You don't want it to escalate to a point where the 6 sessions, for example, that your EAP might offer is not enough to solve that level of anxiety or depression because it has escalated to a new level. In which case, they need to go to your GP and get medication, all of that stuff. Okay, so the purpose of having good examples to encourage them is to encourage them to use it as early as it's possible for them to use. So I hope that makes sense. Then there's flexibility. Yes, more of us are working from in the office now. I know some companies have gone back 3 days a week, 4 days a week. And they some depend on the organization, so have been quite almost inflexible now about, oh no, back to the office. And I think that level of insisting that people come back to the office, I think it is directly correlated with the recession and the economy going down. So I think employers, in my opinion, feel like, oh well, there's nowhere for them to go now. They're going to have to come to the office or else they don't have a job and they're scared to lose their job, which I think is foul. I think it is awful. You don't threaten, you don't take an opportunity to almost threaten your employees about coming back to the office just because you now know they may not have choices. That I just think that's not nice. So, but the companies we work for, they don't do that. So I love the kind of companies and organizations that we work for. They care. They genuinely want to support and help. But I do know there's some organizations out there that are still a bit delayed in it. So the flexibility is just knowing that everybody's not the same. And so we want to be able to make sure that people still have access to those flexibility and they know that they do, right? So remote option, time off for mental health reason, time off for childcare, those kind of things are important because it's supposed to lessen the stressor that your people might be experiencing. It's hard enough as it is, so we can support them so that we don't make their lives any harder, is what we're trying to say, okay? So somebody who's worried about their job, who then feels like they cannot leave the office when the school calls to collect their kids because they feel like, no, I cannot be seen to be having to leave my desk to go and pick up my kid 3 days or twice in a week because it looks like I'm not invested in my work or I'm not committed. So you want to make sure that your people, they might not say it, but you don't want to give them opportunity to entertain that idea if that is not your intention. So if you think, no, we still allow for flexibility, it doesn't matter, just because we're having a difficult time in the organization at the moment with salary and da-da-da-da, does not mean that we will not do support with flexibility. So please, if you need it, please talk to us about it. Don't hide it, blah, 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 blah. So again, you just want to reassure people. You will notice that even though you're doing all these things already, what you're trying to do with some of the suggestions I'm making is just reiterating it to people, just reminding them, giving them permission to know that those things that you had during COVID are still available to them and you haven't changed your motivation to support them. Then we have training your line managers. Again, we've said that in many podcast episodes, haven't we? To support your overall population, it's impossible for just one HR team to manage this. It's a struggle for one CEO to just have oversight of everybody. It is a tough thing because they have other things to worry about. So the easiest and more cost-effective return of investment, really, to support and manage your people is to make sure that your line manager, the people who are directly responsible for their well-being and their workload, have the right training to support them, that they can recognize the signs of mental health issues, they can have supportive conversations, they can have challenging and uncomfortable conversations with their people, whatever concerns that they have, and that it is effective in making referrals for appropriate resources, that when it comes to workload, you can have honest conversations about how to prioritize and what they ought to prioritize, as opposed to the fact that everything has to get done. Not true. That's what an organization might want, but that's not physically possible for people in general. So it's about prioritizing and helping them to do so. So managers have a great, crucial role here in creating a highly supported environment so that people can do their best work, regardless of how challenging things are for them at home or even in the workplace. Do you also want to be able to promote your work-life balance as best as possible? Okay. I mean, I've said that in a previous podcast. I don't really like the term work-life balance because it suggests equal when, yeah. So I prefer work-life blend. But for the purpose of this podcast episode, I'm going to refer to the work-life balance because I think everybody understands what that means. But just trying to encourage employees to maintain some level of healthy work-life adjustment. In other words, knowing there'll be some time where they have to do more when it comes to work. There'll be some time where home life takes more precedent and so on and so forth. And being able to support them to identify where their priorities could lie in any given day or any given week, really. So I'd like work-life blend because on the basis that it's a bit like a fight, what everybody will have different things. Therefore, what one employee has, the other person doesn't have the exact same resource or exact same capability because they are different people. So whatever they need to do and need to access will be unique to them, the work that they do, and the lifestyle that they have outside of work, where they live, whether they have kids or no kids, whether they have aging parents, all of those things will contribute to the type of support that you might be able to give one employee over another. And then you want to be able to encourage deeper social connections. And by this, I mean, yes, you've asked them to come back to the office 4 days a week, but what are they doing in there? Are they back in the office 4 days a week, but they're almost working in silos? So, like, working in the office, but at this hour at home. So on my laptop, not really talking to people, that kind of thing. So people need to focus on their work. And I think that's nice because then you don't have constant distraction. People like me will get distracted by people every time. So I do need a quiet space, a quiet office to work. Otherwise, I'll just get distracted and have nothing done. So what I'm talking about here is creating opportunities for social interaction. So whatever your Friday or Thursday after work routine is, to be able to have something that allows people to talk, hang out, team building activities, that kind of thing. Also, it could just be the fact that, okay, every once a month, Thursday, we have our team meeting, and after the meeting, we all go for lunch together, hang out later, and just chat, and just have conversations that might spark creativity in some way. I happen to be in an office yesterday. I'm not going to mention them, just in case. But I was in the office working there because I happened to know one of the heads of department there. And we were going to meet after work, and I thought, okay, I'll work in her office. And Gordon and I went work in her office while we're waiting. And then she, around 5 o'clock or 4:30, started to put around literally a drink trolley. A drink trolley, people. So with Prosecco, beer, juices, whatever you wanted. It was the last working day because the following day was Good Friday. So this was the last day of the working week. And I just thought it was fascinating. I thought it was brilliant. Obviously, for someone like me who used to work for a substance misuse clinic, this would have been like a no-no. Like, you're not putting around beers for people in client. Like, we just wouldn't. But this case, it was appropriate. And I thought it was lovely. So I did help myself to a glass of Prosecco. And that was lovely. But I liked the fact that the conversation that people are having, and they had this Easter egg hunt thing they were doing in the office. It was lovely. And if you're coming to the office 4 days a week and 1 day a week is like that, then I think it would encourage you to keep coming. If that kind of thing work for you. But it's important to find out, does it work for everybody in the office? And for the people who doesn't work for, what is the alternative for them? Okay, you're not forced to attend or participate. Okay, the other couple of things is around leading by example. So as the leader, head of department, CEO, CFO, whatever your role is in terms of the senior leadership team, is being able to demonstrate empathy. Being able to show your employees that you care and an understanding and to demonstrate an understanding of their mental health challenge as a leader. In other words, you know how important is it. You know how a poor mental health of your team will be detrimental to the productivity and the work that they do, and that could affect your bottom line depending on what your service is or your business is. So it's important to be able to share your experiences where appropriate. Okay, try not to center yourself too much as a leader. The idea is to share it to help normalize conversations around that. People sometimes need to have permission. They need to get permission from their leaders to go ahead with things. So being able to share that you access therapy or you access the EAP or that things were hard for you or challenging for you in the previous quarter, and this is how you overcame them, and this is what you do to make your life better and people around you better, it encourages them to do the same or to find ways in which will be suitable or suits them. Okay, so leading by example, I think probably should want to be one of the top ones, but I think for me, it's just saying that it can't be, you know, do as I say, not do as I do. You know, monkey see, monkey do, as people say, right? You have to do it and then people copy you. So as a leader, you lead by example. Whatever you do, your team will watch you and they will emulate you and they will take permission from you. Then we talk about recognizing reward effort, being able to acknowledge employees' effort during difficult times. You know, you may not be able to pay them extra bonuses or anything like that, but you will be able to offer praises and you know, winning internal competitions and stuff like that. I think those are important to be able to boost morale because it shows that you are interested in their lives, you're interested in what they've got to bring and the value that they bring to your organization. Okay, so that's one of the things. I think it's a lovely thing to do. Not every organization has access to that kind of thing, but you can be creative with how you do that to be able to get people to think, you know what, that was a good job I did last month. And so a good pat on the back, basically, for people who are doing really well. And also the encouragement for others to think, oh, I want to be that. I want to get that award next time. But of course, done in a way that you're not shaming other people. Yeah. And then finally, I want to think about monitoring workload, because an interesting one, isn't it? Because then it is always work to do. So as a leader, you have to think about, well, how workload shared? How do you redistribute them when people, make sure that people aren't burnt out? And how to make sure that you do that before they burn out, as opposed to when somebody had burnt out and left off sick, now you're redistributing their work, which then put pressure on other people in the team. I call that the well-being black hole, right? So one person gets stressed, they're off sick for that stress or burnout. The work gets distributed to the rest of the team, no extra support. So now they have more increase in their workload and then somebody else eventually drops off. Okay, we see this happen all the time. So you want to be able to make sure that leaders and make sure your managers can, in effect, prioritize their projects, figure out what's important, what's not, and just help to be able to support people to be able to work, go through that process. It helps to alleviate unnecessary stress where it's not useful. In other words, if it's a project or a task, if not useful, it's not, at the end of the day, not the thing they're going to save the project, then let them go. Okay. So that is it, really. So I hope that was helpful. I wanted to talk about just how people are going through stress. So even though we're no longer in a recession after 1 month or 2 months of being in it, people still are stressed. There's no much changes there. So keep doing what you're doing. Okay, you might already be doing well in some areas already. So well done for that. Give yourself props for that. But you might have also identified areas that you could do more in. So consider, think about what you could do. And ask your employees, ask them what they think, ask them how you can help. Implement some of these strategies so that you can continue to create a supportive work environment that prioritizes employees' mental health and well-being during a recession. So know that no matter what happens, Investing in your employee's mental health will never be a mistake. You won't lose by doing that. If anything, you gain. It benefits your individual staff, but it contributes to a more resilient and productive workforce overall. People share ideas, they support each other, because they're all in it together, as opposed to where they're in direct competition with each other, creating a level of toxicity in a team, which is not helpful when you do need everybody to be facing the same direction. Okay, so that is it for me. And hope you've enjoyed this episode. DM me if you want to chat about it some more and let me know what your favorite strategy is that you think, oh, could do more of that, Obi, or what you're doing really well already, doing well at already. And that's it. All right. So, by the way, have you taken the Aurora 360 quiz? This is the How Effective Is Your Company Wellbeing Strategy. Have you taken it yet? Well, if you haven't, you want to go to the show notes, click on it, and take the test. It's a short quiz, but it will help you assess your company's current state and identify some potential areas for growth, right? Because by working towards comprehensive wellbeing strategy, you can enhance your employee satisfaction, reduce turnover, and ultimately drive business success. So go take the quiz, okay? And then get a little chat with me or Ngozi to talk about it in more detail. We can help you figure out what to do next. Okay, in that case, enjoy the rest of the holiday, the rest of the week, and we will see you in the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wellbeing Rebellion.
If you liked what you just heard, please share it with your colleagues, follow us on LinkedIn, the links will be in the show notes, and generally show us some love.
We want to build a whole army of fellow rebels who want to create positive workplaces for everyone. Will you join the rebellion? See you next time.